It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret. Wakeboats are designed for fun, but they continue to stir up controversy on lakes in Wisconsin and around the country. These boats are designed to generate big waves at slower speeds. They're used in water sports like wake surfing. But with more and more people wake surfing, there are growing concerns over the environmental impact to lakes, like contributing to shoreline erosion and the spread of invasive aquatic species. Wakeboat owners and enthusiasts, on the other hand, say the backlash is unwarranted and that wakeboats are safe when used properly. We'll hear from a WPR reporter about how this controversy is playing out in Wisconsin's lake communities. First, new research from the University of Minnesota uses underwater sensors to find out how wake boats and other motorized boats affect the water column and the lake bed. Jeffrey Marr is Associate Director of Engineering and Facilities at St. Anthony Falls Laboratory at the University of Minnesota. He talked to Kate Archer-Kent about his new study.
For this study, you looked at how powerboats affect the water column and the lake bed. What kind of boats were included in this study?
This study involved seven different boats over two field seasons. We looked at what we consider to be very typical boats that we might find here in the upper Midwest of Wisconsin and Minnesota. So we included a couple deck boats, a couple boats that were bow riders, kind of those typical boats with either outboard or inboard outboard engines. And then we had two wake boats that are kind of state-of-the-art boats used for wake surfing and other recreational activities.
I've experienced a speedboat. How do wake boats differ from other boats and displace more water and get these much bigger waves?
Yeah, great question. Wake boats are different from regular, more typical recreational boats, and they're different for a couple reasons. The first is that they're just made to add weight. So they have ballast tanks on board. They can essentially double their weight. So if their boat without this ballast water is 3,000 or 4,000 pounds, they can add another kind of double that up to 8,000, even 10,000 pounds. So that helps that boat sit deeper in the water, and they can kind of pump that water on and off the boat as they want. These boats also have other kind of tabs and things, that foils that sit at the back of the boat that help pull the stern of the boat farther in the water, and that just helps them make that bigger surf wave. And then the way the boats are used, they're used at this transitional speed where there's a lot of drag and a lot of plowing of water, and so they have big engines on board. And that engine is heavy, and it also that allows the boat to push through the water and plow that water. So those are the main differences with these boats.
And you situate the study on Lake Minnetonka, this busy urban lake near Minneapolis. How did you go about collecting the data and measuring the impacts?
Right. Yeah. It's a very busy lake, Lake Minnetonka, in the west metro of the Twin Cities. The design of the study took us quite a while. We had to pick sites carefully to deploy our sensors and looking at different bottom characteristics, different depths. And once we found those spots, we lowered sensors to the bottom of the lake that measure the velocity of the water. One of the sensors measures the velocity right at the bottom of the lake. Another one measured the velocity in the whole water column. And we marked the positions of those sensors really carefully. And then we drove these test boats right over the top of those sensors. And we did that under really prescribed conditions that are typical uses for these boats, like, for example, hydroplaning, like you might do if you're water skiing, or in surfing mode for the surf boats. And then when we did that, the sensors were collecting information on how that water is moving, what kind of velocities, what kind of impacts, and how deep they go into the water column. And then when those tests were done, we retrieved all those sensors up at the end of the day and then started working with the data.
And you placed buoys so other boats weren't driving over your sensors. They weren't interfering with your data collection. Is that right?
For sure. Yeah, great question. Yes. So we put a perimeter around our site, and we are doing this work in the fall after Labor Day. So most of the school-age children, surfers, and other recreationals were back in school, right? So the lake's right. A little quieter. And but we definitely set up a perimeter, and so we could have controlled work. Similarly, we didn't work on days where it was too windy. We worked on days where wind wouldn't be a factor, add to any of the energy in the water.
And looking at this underwater footage from the study, you can see the bottom of the lake getting agitated with sediment coming up, flying across the camera, making the water cloudy. How might this affect the overall aquatic ecosystem of the lake?
Yeah, the camera footage that we were able to get in this last year of the study really is remarkable. It really surprised us what we saw. You do see a lot of erosion happening from a couple of the conditions. We actually see movement on the bed for most boats in the shallower water, even boats, typical recreational boats, when they're on plane. But the most striking is when surf boats are surfing. We see the bottom really erode and suspend. And what the implications are wasn't really, we didn't study it specifically, but we know from looking at other research that when you get that sediment up in the water column, things can really change in the lake. The water clarity changes. And for those of us that use lake, we want to see lakes that are clear, that you can see the bottom and the stones and the gravel and the fish. That water, that when that water gets turbid like that, it just loses its quality, but it also has the potential to harm vegetation. We saw vegetation floating in some of our videos. And another thing is nutrients. Phosphorus, which is a limiting nutrient in lakes, can get activated and up into the water column and can become essentially food for algae. And algae grows faster, and it can actually lead to algae blooms. And that's just a negative consequence for our lakes.
In the years you've been studying these wake boats and their waves, I mean, it seems like they've become increasingly popular in the boating community. Do you find that?
Well, for sure. We see, you know, the sport of wake surfing is really growing. It's growing here in Minnesota. It's growing in Wisconsin and other, you know, kind of states across North America, really, that have lakes. So, yeah, the popularity is growing. I know it's a fun sport. I've not done it personally, but I've high school age kids that love to surf. So I think this study is not out to wreck that or ban wake boats at all. This is really just trying to understand what happens under the water for both all kinds of recreational boats, including wake boats, including non-wake surf boats.
And I think that is really clear in one sentence. It states all boats have the potential to damage aquatic vegetation. Can you speak more to that? I mean, I wonder if we're picking on wake boats if all boats might contribute to degrading the aquatic environment in some way.
Yeah, great question. And we want to make sure that people understand the study is not out to single out any kind of boat. If we try to really focus on the data, what the data does say, though, is that wake surf boats, when they're in surf mode, need to stay in deeper water. We saw quite severe resuspension, erosion, destruction on the lake bed and even 14 feet of water. And our data shows that when you're 20 feet or greater, those conditions, those impacts decrease quite a bit.
As you said, your study recommends that wake boats should operate in 20 feet of water or greater when in that wake mode. What happens at that depth of water or in greater depths of water?
Well, in depths less than 20 feet, what we're seeing is that the phenomena that the boat generates when surfing, which are, you know, forces off of the hull of the boat, and there's prop wash and there's waves called transverse waves, those penetrate deep enough that they can actually start to disrupt and resuspend sediments up into the water column. So that's the impact. And as you get deeper, those effects don't reach down towards the bottom of the lake. And so just naturally, if you can find deeper water, you're going to have less impact on the bottom. And for non-wake surf boats, so a boat that just has an outboard motor and you're water skiing, we see that impact in less than 10 feet of water. And we recommend, based on our data, that even if you're water skiing or cruising around slowly, kind of, you know, dinner time looking at nice houses around a lake, stay out in 10 feet of water or greater. And that's just going to help keep those forces, the velocities in the water, up higher in the water column. And it won't impact the sediment and the vegetation on the lake bed.
From what I understand, this is the second phase of a three-phase study. What's coming next?
Yeah, our third phase of study is underway right now. We're actually in the second summer of work, and we're actually trying to look at a really important question, which is the differences between wind-driven waves and boat waves. So we know that we have storms, we have windy days, and that creates waves on our lakes. And we're asking the question, you know, how does that differ? How do those waves, even wind storm waves, how do those differ from large boat waves in terms of how deep they go into the lake and the kind of erosive power that those both types of waves might have? So we're collecting data right now on a couple different sites around Minnesota where we're measuring natural wind-driven waves. We're also measuring recreational boat waves, and we'll do that analysis of that information over the winter.
Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for sharing this research.
Well, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
That is Jeffrey Marr, Associate Director of Engineering and Facilities at the University of Minnesota's St. Anthony Falls Laboratory. He's one of the authors of a newly published study that used underwater sensors to determine how wake boats disturb lake beds at shallower depths and negatively affect the aquatic ecosystem. Now to Wisconsin, where tensions over wake boats are pitting environmental groups against people who want to have fun out on the water. Danielle Kading is a reporter based at WPR's Superior Bureau. She's been reporting on wake boat controversies over the past couple summers. Danny, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Kate.
Danny, wake boats, they're a contentious issue all over the country and, of course, here in Wisconsin. Can you explain a little bit why these boats are such a tense issue in our state?
Well, if I had to hazard a guess, I think it's because of, you know, how they interact with other lake users. We see a lot of conflict on lakes between people who canoe or swim or kayak and these wake boats. And so in response to that, we've seen about 60 towns in Wisconsin that have taken steps to pass ordinances regulating or banning operation of these wake boats on roughly 350 lakes statewide in the absence of state regulation on this.
So there's new research out of Minnesota finding that wake boats damage lake beds. What concerns do environmental advocates have about these boats?
Yeah, well, the concerns are pretty wide-ranging. There's concerns related to how these boats might affect shoreline erosion or cause damage to the shorelines. There's concerns about them possibly spreading invasive species through ballast tanks that they use. Also, the damage that they cause to the lake bottom that was referenced by the University of Minnesota study.
We talked with the executive director of the environmental group Wisconsin's Green Fire, and Melissa Johnson, here's what she had to say about wake boats. Let's listen.
You know, we want to make sure we protect the environment and our natural resources. We also respect the fact that we have public trust doctrine and people should be allowed to use our waterways per the public trust doctrine. But we also shouldn't allow certain behaviors to disrupt those resources for everybody else.
She certainly chose her words very carefully. Is this sentiment similar to what you've heard from other environmental groups?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much shared by that broad coalition that she's a part of. They're a part of 80 groups who have really come out against wake boats and wake surfing in Wisconsin because of the impacts that they could have that she mentioned on other lake users. There's concerns for the environment. There's concerns for public safety. Frankly, a lot of people just think it's a nuisance, whereas wake boat owners, you know, tout the benefits of wake surfing and the activities. Like, you know, they enjoy wake surfing. It's less harsh on the body than other sports like water skiing. And so it's hard to, it seems, to strike a balance that both groups can accept, whether they're, you know, for using wake boats or against them.
And then on the other side of this debate, we have the wake boat owners, wake boat users who feel that these boats are being singled out for scrutiny. And let's take a listen to Cindy Leitner, president of the Wisconsin Water Sports Coalition.
People feel like they're being persecuted.
They bought these boats legally. They bought them to use them. You know, they're licensed in Wisconsin. It's not like they're taking an unlicensed thing into the state. And they feel they have no voice.
And as she says, they bought these boats in Wisconsin. What is the reaction you're hearing from people who enjoy wake boats?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much the same. And then also them saying that these boats make up a very small percentage of craft out on lakes in Wisconsin. I think the latest sales were somewhere around 4 to 5% of all motorboats sold. And then also, you know, that some of the things that people have mentioned is that they used to be against jet skis when those came out. And there was a lot of backlash against that, but eventually that quieted down, or that wake boats provide, you know, safe recreation for people using them. It can be done responsibly. That, you know, some of the folks that I went out on a lake with, they go out into deeper water. They stay at least 200 feet from the shore. But there's just a dispute over how deep or how far from the shore people should be.
So we're starting to see some of these legal battles, some of this litigation over wake boats. Can you talk about the lawsuit against the town of Scott in Burnett County?
Yeah, sure. There's a couple of residents who live out of state, but they own or use lakefront property on Birch Island Lake within the town of Scott in Burnett County. And they're suing the town because they think its ordinance that restricts operation of wake boats is unconstitutional. They say it violates their constitutional rights to due process and their rights under the public trust doctrine. And they want that ordinance to be overturned.
Danny, last year, Vermont's Agency of Natural Resources, which is akin to our DNR, of course, they issued statewide rules for wake boats. The Wisconsin DNR, on the other hand, has not so far taken this up. What do you think it would take for Wisconsin's DNR to tackle this issue on Wisconsin lakes?
You know, I think the DNR would say that they are weighing in some form on the local ordinances that are coming across their desk. But when it comes to statewide regulation, I think they're deferring to the legislature and lawmakers at this point, because we've seen instances where the agency has created rules that have either been suspended or blocked by the Republican-controlled legislature. And so I think there's just a lot of concern about what is the best way to address the concerns that people have.
Danny, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me on, Kate.
That's WPR reporter Danielle Kading. She talked to Kate Archer-Kent about how wake boats are dividing local communities and lakes around the state. Earlier, we heard from researcher Jeff Marr at the University of Minnesota, who studies the impact of boat-generated waves on the lake ecosystem. Well, we want to hear from you. What's your favorite way to enjoy your local lake or your getaway lake? Do you see disputes between different kinds of users? Do you see ways to have everybody just get along on the lakes? Tell us about it. Email wisconsintoday@wpr.org. That's wisconsintoday@wpr.org.